Not a single one of us is adequate within ourselves to understand the ways of God, the deep things of God, the spiritual walk.
Jesus knew how anxious his disciples had become after he told them that he would soon leave them. So Christ comforted them with these words, "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." His promise was not only to his close friends in days long gone, but it's to us today as well. If we want to be closer to our Lord, all we need to do is turn to our teacher, the Holy Spirit. Today on In Touch, you'll discover more about the role of the Holy Spirit as Charles Stanley continues leading us back to basics.
The Word of God teaches us that our Heavenly Father sent the Holy Spirit to earth to be our teacher. And that is not the only thing that He does, but He came to be our teacher. And if you'll think about it, while He has many, many ministries to empower us, to serve Him and so forth, most everything that the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer and the life of the unbeliever is part of His instruction, part of His teaching. For example, how did you and I become a Christian? The Spirit of God convicted us of our sin. And then He began to reveal to us why our sin was against God and what it would do to us. And when you and I were willing to acknowledge that, then He moved to the next step. He instructed us that the only way to be forgiven of our sin was to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one who showed us the importance of the death of Jesus. When we accepted that, He was willing then to take us to the third step, and that is to teach us why we must place our faith in Christ, and it couldn't be works. Because He would say to us, if it is by works, then it is what you do. If it is by faith in what Jesus did at Calvary, then salvation is all of God. So even in our salvation experience, the Holy Spirit is the one who is guiding our thinking. It is the Holy Spirit who teaches us that we are to walk in the Spirit. And He's the one who instructs us as to how you and I are to walk in the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who brings to our remembrance and reminds us and instructs us that we are to serve Him by dependence upon Him. He's the one who instructs us and teaches us that you and I cannot serve God effectively if we do it in our own strength and in our own wisdom. So you and I could take just about everything we believe and all the actions of the life of the believer, and you'll trace them back to the instruction, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Father sent Him. He sent Him, one of the primary reasons, to be our instructor and our teacher. Now, there are three basic requirements, I believe, according to the Scriptures, necessary in order for the Spirit of God to teach us anything. Three basic requirements. The first one is this, and that is, I must believe this book to be the Word of God. You show me people who are teaching error, and most of them, there's some part of this book they don't believe. And there are a lot of people out there preaching and teaching the Word of God who will tell you this Bible has errors in it, and it's not all there, and the first 11 chapters of Genesis is a myth, and the book of the Revelation is a big myth, and they'll pick out a bunch of the chapters in Isaiah and say, well, that's not inspired, and they go through all this. Listen, the Spirit of God isn't going to waste His time instructing somebody in the deep things of God when they don't even believe the Word of God. That's why I can say to you that there are some mothers out there and grandmothers who understand more of the ways of God than some men who stand behind the pulpit and some men who stand behind desks in colleges and seminaries teaching the Word of God who don't believe it all, who have a limited understanding of the deep things of God. Now, they may have a lot of facts. You can be lost as a goose and have a lot of facts about the Bible. You know how many books there are in the Bible. You can talk about David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den and Joseph in prison. And you can talk about some of the things, the miracles that Jesus did. But understanding the deep things of God, understanding the ways of God, understanding the spiritual walk, there's a lot of difference in having head knowledge and spirit knowledge. The Spirit of God is going to teach us from the Word of God. If I'm going to be instructed by the Spirit of God, first of all, I must consent to the fact this is the living Word of God, and it does not have errors in it. There may be some things that are hard to understand, some things maybe you don't understand. That doesn't mean it's an error. Secondly, a person must be saved. The Spirit of God is not going to instruct the ways of God to a person who has rejected the Son of God. Jesus says, no man comes to the Father but by me. And if you can't come to the Father but by Him, you're certainly not going to understand the deep things of God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior through the work of the Holy Spirit, externally working and convicting of sin, bringing to the truth, then the understanding of who Jesus is, the necessity of salvation, then it moves on from there. The third requirement for the Holy Spirit to instruct us, first of all, believing the Word of God. Secondly, saved by the grace of God. Thirdly, depending upon the Holy Spirit as the teacher. Now, if I don't depend upon Him as my instructor, I've got to depend upon myself, my own human wisdom, my knowledge, my experience, what I read and so forth. And if a person says, well, you know, I've been to seminary 3 or 4 years and I've got this degree, that degree, therefore I'm qualified. Not necessarily. Just because a person knows facts doesn't mean they know God. Just because a person knows facts about the Bible doesn't mean they know the ways of God. And therefore, the Spirit of God is going to teach us when we put our faith in the Word of God, we are saved by the grace of God and become a child of God now and dwelt with the Holy Spirit and depend upon Him, not human wisdom. And Paul again and again said, for example, to the Corinthians when he's talking about his preaching, he said, I didn't come to you in man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. Not a single one of us is adequate within ourselves to understand the ways of God, the deep things of God, the spiritual walk. And there are many people who think, oh, yes, I know the Scriptures. I wouldn't ever say to anybody, yes, I know the Scriptures. I am learning the ways of God. I am learning to walk in the things of God. I am learning the Scriptures. I would never say I have learned them. No man in his right mind would ever say that. The Spirit of God comes into our life, and He works these things out. All the things that He's doing in our life, He has something very, very specific in mind. And so when we come to look at His work, there are four things that I want us to see about His instruction in our life. Now, we said He certainly is a qualified instructor, no question about that. And He has a very specific purpose in mind, and that is to transform us into the likeness of Christ. And so what does He do? Well, I want to give you four words, and the first one is revelation. Revelation is truth given by God that could not be attained any other way. Now, God has revealed Himself in nature to some degree. That's general revelation. That's not sufficient. But here is the written revelation of God. Here is the written wisdom of God. This is the knowledge of God. This is who God is. Who God is to be found in this Bible. The living revelation of God is what you and I have in this Bible. Now, you may have a King James Version, New American Standard Version, New International Version, or whatever version, and there may be some slight differences in the way it is penned so for better understanding. But it is the inerrant Word of the living God. And it is the Spirit of God who has revealed this. Now, a lost person can't understand it. The lost person who has denied Jesus Christ, rejected Jesus Christ, turned Him down, doesn't need Him, doesn't want Him, he absolutely cannot understand the ways of God. It is stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the very example itself says this is the way lost people look at the Bible. You say, now wait a minute. I'm not a Christian, but I understand some things about the Bible. What do you understand? Well, you could tell me about Genesis and about the creation. You could tell me about David and Daniel, and you could tell me about some of the miracles in the Bible. Factual knowledge, no question. Factual knowledge, a lost person can memorize a whole bunch of it. We're talking about understanding the truth. Listen, the truth of the Word of God, the spiritual teachings and instruction of the Word of God, not simply facts about the Bible. It is the Spirit of God who makes it real for us and reveals it. The second word I want you to jot down is illumination. Now, illumination is that supernatural work of the Holy Spirit whereby He enables us to comprehend and to understand the already given revelation of God. This is His revelation. But you know, I can come to that and come to some verses, and apart from His illumination, I won't understand it. Now, here's what I want you to remember. You have within you someone, the Holy Spirit, who will do the same for you, He will do for me. For example, let's say I'm studying a message and preparing for a sermon. There is a brief moment in every single sermon that I prepare, that I work on, There is a brief moment when that illumination comes. And I can study and read and translate and look at references and so forth and just work and pray and ask the Lord to show me. But you know what? All of that is to no avail unless the Spirit of God enlightens my heart, not only to understand the Scripture, but there is that moment in time that I cannot describe, that moment in time when that illumination comes and then I know what God is saying. And until that, all my human wisdom and experience, and I've been preaching for almost 40 years, or about 40 years, and you know what? That has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Until the Spirit of God illumines your mind. For example, so if I should ask you, how many of you understand John 3:16? Boy, lots of hands that go up. But you know what? There are people who have spent years and years and years of their life studying John 3:16 alone who will tell you, I don't fully comprehend it. Because you see, you and I can quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. We can just quote that verse off and not think about it. But if you take word by word, each single word related to each other, related to other words in that verse, I'm here to tell you, they won't be very long before you'll say, there's so much here. If I dig and mine the rest of my life, I'll never be able to get all the truth out of John 3:16. Well, think about it. That's one verse. You think you'll ever understand all of this? Hallelujah, no. You say, well, I won't understand it. I will praise God you do. I hope everybody does. But you see, if this were like any other book, we could read it a few times and say, got it. Got it. Think about this. You and I have this is the revelation of God. This is about who God is. Who can comprehend all that God is? No one. But the wonderful thing about it is He loves us enough to do what? To keep giving us truth. So here's what happens. When you open your Bible and you begin to read, how many times have you read a passage and you said, well, God's trying to say something, I don't get it. You keep reading, you keep praying. God, I want you to show me the truth. Show me the truth. Show me the truth. And oftentimes, is this not true? That you'll ask God to show you the truth about some passage, and instead of getting the truth about that passage, you get convicted about some sin. Well, now, God, now, this is what I'm talking about over here. And so, instead of showing you the truth, the Spirit of God convicts you of sin. Well, it takes you about a week or so to get over that, and the only way you get over it is dealing with it, and you keep fudging around reading something else, and God keeps bringing you back to this specific passage, and you can't get away from it, and God keeps convicting you of sin. Finally, you say, I give up. Okay, God, right. And so you repent of that sin. Come back to that Scripture, and you say, wow, I never saw that before. Right, you didn't. You know why? Because listen to this, sin clouds the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Sin will cloud our understanding of the Holy Spirit. Sin clouds the illumination. And therefore, there's some things you read and you read and you read and you think, well, now I think I know what that says. And there have been many times when I come to a passage, I know it's the passage God wants me to preach on. And so I translate it and study it and get everything together. No outline. Can't get it together. God, what's the matter? In other words, the spark's not there. The illumination's never hit me. And how many times God will send me to my knees and deal with me, and I'm saying, now, Lord, now I want you to show me the truth. It's like God says, no, it's not the truth that I want to deal with. I want to deal with you about something that's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life. And before I'm going to give you that, you've got to deal with this. And you see, you have the same Holy Spirit living in you who will do the same for you. When you open the Word of God and you're searching God's Word and you want Him to speak to your heart about something, you're looking for direction in your life, and you're coming to a pastor and you say, God, what does that mean? Lord, just speak to my heart. Now listen to me carefully. Don't you miss this. The Spirit of God isn't going to continue to instruct you in the ways of God, how He operates, what He wants to do in your life, revealing His will. He's not going to keep doing that and bringing you further and further in your walk with God if there's something over here you will not deal with. Now, when I deal with whatever this is over here, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be able to come to this passage and think, why didn't I see that before? That's the reason I didn't see it before. Has it always been there? It's always been there. You see, the Spirit of God reveals truth to you and me. Listen to this now. He reveals truth to you and me as we are ready to receive it. God isn't going to give me something. In other words, I've learned a great deal since I was saved at the age of 12. Suppose God said, okay, I'm going to dump it all on you at the age of 12. It would have been meaningless. The Holy Spirit instructs you in the ways of God. He knows what's around the next corner in your life. You see, He's the instructor. He wants to show us the truth, illuminating the mind. That is, He's the one who gives us deep understanding of His ways. Third word I want you to jot down. That is, He reminds us. Listen to what He said in this passage. He said in verse 26 of 14, John 14, He will teach you all things and bring all, He said, bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said. Now, does that mean that the Holy Spirit's just going to just bring everything I want to remember just like this? No. He's going to bring to my remembrance those things that I need. For example, how did these men receive the Gospels, for example? In other words, they didn't sit around the campfire and Jesus said, now I want to talk to you all tonight. And Peter and pull out his little tape recorder up here and lay it over there and say, okay, I'm going to get all this down. Remember that they didn't even have pencils like we're talking about. Then he wasn't sitting there with a scroll writing all this down. So they heard it. It was the Spirit of God who brought back to their mind and their memory the things Jesus said. Now, when the Apostle Paul, for example, was listening to God, he could write down what the Spirit of God was saying to him. These men were moving. That is, Jesus didn't, he didn't have a, I think about this often. I thought, Lord Jesus, and all that wisdom you had, you never had to prepare a sermon. Not one single one. Not a one. All in his mind, all in his heart and his spirit, because he was truth. So he speaks the truth. They hear it. Later, the Spirit of God brings it back to their mind. So we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one written to a different group for a specific purpose. And we have it all right here. Bringing back to our mind. So what does he do in your life, in my life? You and I come to a crisis. And what happens? How often has the Spirit of God brought to your mind a scripture, a text, a favorite verse, or one that you've read? How often does he bring to your mind something you've heard in a sermon? And we get thousands of letters all the time and people saying, you said this, you said that, this spoke to my heart, this spoke to my heart. I was in this situation, that situation. I remember this, that, and the other. That's the Spirit of God bringing back truth. As I've said before, though, if you don't put anything in this mind of yours, the Spirit of God has nothing to deal with. That's why you could take the most expensive computer, $10,000, $20,000, sitting on your desk in front of you, and somebody teach you how to operate it, and so you punch the buttons and nothing comes up. He says, thing's blank. Right. It's blank until you put something in it. Now listen, the Spirit of God doesn't have anything to remind you of if you've not heard it, read it, or maybe memorized it, or made it a part of your life. And so if you want the Spirit of God to bring to your remembrance, to remind you, to bring to your remembrance those things you need to remember concerning the things of God, then you must listen. That's why I say come to church with a Bible, a pencil, and a piece of paper, or write the notes in your Bible, but don't spend 45 or 50 minutes of your time listening to the Word of God and walk away and forget it, because I guarantee you, you're going to need it. And when it's in your mind and heart, the Spirit of God can bring it back and oftentimes rescue us in a difficult situation by a single verse. So He reminds us. The last word I would mention is that He guides us. He says He will guide us into all truth. In this 13th verse of the 16th chapter, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. Now, to guide means that He is going to lead us somewhere. Now, listen carefully. If He's going to lead me, what is He going to lead me to do? He's not only going to reveal the Word to me, illumine my mind, bring to my memory those things that I need to remember, but He is going to guide me. Listen to this. He's going to guide you and me in the application. How do we apply this truth? Go back to Acts chapter 8, 8th chapter of Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember the statement he made when Philip came running up to him beside the chariot? Philip said to him in the 30th verse, he said, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31. And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? That is, he said, I need someone to help me understand this and to apply it to my life. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit, listen, is not only revealing the truth, illuminating, giving you the capacity to understand the deep things of God and to bring them back to your memory, but He's the one who guides us and who shows us how to apply these things as you and I, listen, we oftentimes walk through minefields in this life of ours. We walk through difficulties and hardships and trials and temptations, and the Spirit of God is there to guide us doing what? To guide us in the application of this truth so that as you and I apply it to our heart, as we obey the truth, then what happens? We begin to grow and we take giant steps toward God. Now listen carefully. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're, listen, in-house instructor. Every believer has Him. He is there to illumine your mind and heart, to bring to your memory those things that you need to remember, and to guide you. But it is all based ultimately on this one thing. Am I willing to be obedient to what He tells me to do? Listen now. You can't separate the instruction of the Holy Spirit from obeying the Holy Spirit. Listen, my rebellion will cloud the illumination of the Spirit. My rebellion will stifle my spiritual growth. The Spirit of God can instruct me and enable me, but my responsibility is to say yes. If that's what you would have me to do, the answer is yes, dear God. And the Spirit of God is willing to take us where we are, move in our life, and grow us up. That is His responsibility, to transform us in the likeness of Christ. You have Him on the inside of you. And my challenge to you today is this. Take advantage of the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you. Open the Word of God. Tell Him that you are absolutely, totally dependent upon Him, that you want to obey what He shows you. You're committed to being obedient to the Word of God, and you're relying upon Him to enable you to live out what He instructs you with. And what will happen? You'll begin to take leaps and bounds in your understanding of the Word of God, and you'll begin to grow faster in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ.
God gave us the Holy Spirit to instruct and enable us. But Charles Stanley reminded us that it's our responsibility to obey. If we refuse, then our spiritual growth is halted. But once we say yes to God, then the Holy Spirit will begin to transform us into the likeness of Christ. Have you ever felt like the Bible was just too difficult to understand? Like it was just a lot of spiritual concepts that have no relevance to daily life? Well, that's not an uncommon viewpoint, but it's not an accurate one either. Once we begin to study God's Word, we find it to be completely applicable to every area of life, from business to finances to relationships to family. The Bible has something to say about every possible situation or circumstance. If you find it difficult to uncover those spiritual insights, then you'll be interested in our free monthly publication, The In Touch Magazine. The magazine features articles by Charles Stanley that teach you how to understand the Scripture and then apply them to your everyday life. In addition, you'll find a brief daily devotional feature that will help you focus your attention on Christ. For a free subscription, ask for The In Touch Magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. And if you're internet active, remember to bookmark the In Touch website for daily visits. Our address is intouch.org. Spiritual growth is closely linked with our understanding of God's Word. We learn about God and what He wants us to do as we read the Scriptures. Discover more about our textbook as Charles Stanley continues leading us back to basics tomorrow. Touching Lives with the Word of God. Charles Stanley's teaching is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.